Imagine walking down a busy city street and you see a vendor selling this glittering, seemingly perfect luxury watch.
Right, it catches the eye.
Exactly. It looks incredibly valuable at first glance. But when you pause and you look closely, the secondhand stutters.
The weight is entirely wrong.
Right. It is a counterfeit, just a cheap imitation trying desperately to pass for the genuine article.
And that translates directly to our spiritual lives today.
It really does. As believers, we are constantly walking through a world that is offering us spiritual counterfeits. So, welcome to our study today. We are taking a single deep dive into a profound Sunday night message delivered by Brother Steve.
Titled The Fall of the World.
Right. This is Lesson 6, delivered on March 29th, 2026.
It is such a necessary biblical exploration for the hour we live in. I mean, our mission today is to trace the historical and the prophetic roots of spiritual deception.
From the ancient Tower of Babel all the way to the coming Antichrist.
Exactly. And we are doing this so that you, the listener, can truly understand what we must remember as Christians navigating today's increasingly dark world.
Now, the subject of the end times can it can certainly feel heavy.
It can.
But before we begin our discussion, I really want to share a beautiful, encouraging moment from the gathering that night. Sister Belinda shared the memory verse for March.
Oh, Philippians 4:42.
Right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a blessing to start our time anchored in that truth.
Amen. That sets the perfect spiritually grounded tone for us. Because, well, while studying global deception requires a sober mind, we must always remember one unshakable reality.
And what is that?
God is ultimately running history. Absolutely nothing takes him by surprise.
Praise the Lord for that. So let us begin exactly where Brother Steve started, looking toward the ultimate culmination of worldly deception in the end times.
He pointed us to Luke 21.
Right, and what the scripture calls the time of the Gentiles.
And for those listening who might be less familiar with that specific term, this refers to the historical period we are in right now.
That long era where worldly, secular nations hold sway and, well, exercise dominion over the earth.
Leading right up to the period just before Christ returns. And Brother Steve showed how this era culminates in the prophesied rise of the Antichrist.
Revelation 13, verse 3 gives us a really chilling, specific detail about this coming ruler.
It speaks of the Antichrist suffering a deadly wound.
A mortal wound, right, that is then seemingly healed. And this event causes the whole world to marvel and follow him.
And here is where that counterfeit watch analogy really comes into focus for us.
How so?
Well, Satan cannot genuinely resurrect anyone. He is not God.
Right. He is not the creator of life. He has no life-giving power of his own to impart.
That is a remarkable distinction, and one we must hold firmly in our minds. Satan is entirely incapable of true resurrection.
So this healing is a grand deception.
Exactly. It is a counterfeit miracle designed specifically to cause the world to marvel and ultimately to worship the dragon.
Which Revelation clearly identifies as Satan himself.
Right. He mimics the resurrection of Jesus Christ to steal the glory that belongs only to the Son of God.
And the scripture tells us the Antichrist will open his mouth to blaspheme God. He will make war with the saints for 42 months.
That terrifying period of the Great Tribulation.
And he will be granted power over the world. Now, when we hear about this coming global tyranny, I mean, the natural human instinct is to panic.
To take matters into our own hands.
Exactly. The flesh wants to fight back against worldly darkness using worldly weapons, but we have to remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane.
It is a profound parallel. You know, Revelation 13, verse 10 offers us a sobering comfort regarding this tyranny.
It says, "He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword."
What this reveals is that tyranny inherently destroys itself from within. Evil is a self-consuming fire.
We see this throughout all of human history, don't we?
Absolutely. Wicked empires rise, they consolidate power, but their destruction always comes from within their own corrupt, godless systems.
And that reality perfectly explains Jesus's response in the Garden of Gethsemane.
When Peter drew his earthly sword.
Right. When Peter tried to fight for Jesus, our Lord told him to put it away. Jesus stated plainly that he did not need Peter's sword to establish his kingdom.
He said he could call upon 12 legions of angels.
That is 72,000 angels ready at a moment's notice to execute divine justice.
We really must pause and consider the sheer magnitude of that heavenly army.
It is staggering.
I mean, in the Old Testament record in 2 Kings, we read that just one single angel struck down 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in a single night.
one angel.
Right. Vengeance belongs entirely to the Lord. We simply do not need to fight the world's darkness with the world's weapons.
Going back to our analogy, Satan is selling cheap, flashy knockoffs of God's true miracles.
And the hardest thing for us, as believers, is walking past that vendor without trying to flip his table over in our own fleshly strength.
That is so true. We have to actively cultivate what the scriptures call the patience of the saints.
We simply wait on the Lord. We do not despair.
We rest in the incredible truth that Jesus Christ is coming back to take back the earth. And those counterfeits, they will all be swept away by the genuine glory of the returning king.
Praise the Lord for that promise.
Amen. Now, if Satan's final system is built on such blatant deception, we are forced to ask a really difficult question.
Why do so many people fall for it?
Exactly. Brother Steve pointed out that it stems from a vulnerability in our very own God-given design.
From the very moment of creation, God implanted in humanity an innate desire for deity.
We were made for fellowship with God. He placed eternity in our hearts, you know, creating a spiritual thirst that only he can satisfy.
And even after the fall in the Garden of Eden, that religious bent remains in all of us. Humanity naturally seeks the supernatural.
Atheism, as Brother Steve noted, is essentially a form of self-deception.
Right. It takes active effort to deny the Creator when all of creation is crying out his name.
And Satan knows exactly how we function. Because we have this innate thirst for the supernatural, he manufactures false religious systems to quench that thirst with poison.
Romans chapter 1 describes this tragic downward spiral where humanity rejects the truth of the Creator and, well, manufactures their own religions.
And ultimately, all of these false systems, no matter how sophisticated they appear, they boil down to the worship of three things.
Satan, demons, and self.
2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 warns us that Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers, and he does this using various worldly systems.
Even seemingly secular ones, right?
Absolutely. Brother Steve gave a really striking example regarding the modern education system. He noted the heavy administrative bloat that takes resources away from true learning.
And he mentioned a report of massive foreign influence.
He did, specifically citing Qatar's $6.2 billion investment in the United States educational system.
And, you know, we are just reporting on Brother Steve's observations here. But this is a perfect example of how the enemy operates through organized structures.
When billions of dollars flow into an educational system from nations that are fundamentally hostile to the gospel, it subtly dictates the curriculum.
It shifts the focus from objective truth and classical learning toward secular ideologies.
It creates an administrative machine that slowly, methodically starves out a biblical worldview,
replacing it with concepts that blind the minds of the next generation.
He is incredibly subtle. During the Wednesday night study, Brother Steve shared a brilliant anecdote about this subtlety.
Oh, about the two types of deception.
Yes. There was a discussion comparing them. One man was arguing against the name and claim it prosperity gospel.
Rightly pointing out its theological errors, of course.
Exactly. But someone else downplayed that concern, arguing that they should really just be worried about the cults down the street, like the Mormons.
And Brother Steve's conclusion was incredibly insightful.
He said they are two sides of the same coin.
They are both deceptions, leading souls astray, just wearing different masks.
Think of our hearts like a compass. God gave us a spiritual compass meant to point directly to him, the true north.
But Satan comes along and throws a magnet right next to it.
Right. The compass needle swings wildly, throwing off our bearing entirely. I find that compass analogy so terrifying because it means the most dangerous false religion isn't always the one outside the walls.
It is often the one masquerading as Christianity right next to us in the pew.
It is incredibly hard to spot when it uses our vocabulary.
And that brings us to a critically important point about our spiritual vigilance. We must discern between what Brother Steve called posers versus possessors.
Deception within the church is profoundly dangerous.
1 Timothy 4 verse 1 warns of those who will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons.
This type of error, this empty chatter, it spreads like a cancer, or as the original Greek implies, like gangrene.
It is a heartbreaking reality that some people are sitting in church buildings trapped in the machinery of religion, but are not actually saved.
They possess the outward form of godliness, but they lack the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Right. And this organized system of blinding minds, whether through secular education or false religion, it is not a modern invention.
No. We must look far back into biblical history to see its specific starting point. Only then can we truly understand the spiritual architecture of the world we live in today.
The birthplace of systematic false religion is found in Genesis chapter 11.
On the plain of Shinar.
The biblical text tells us that all of humanity had one language and one lip.
And what did they do with that total unity? They built a tower.
A ziggurat.
Right. These were not just tall buildings. They were flat-top towers historically associated with the stars, the zodiac, and demon worship.
It was humanity's attempt to reach into the heavens on their own terms, completely bypassing God.
And leading this organized rebellion was a man named Nimrod.
Introduced in Genesis 10, verse 8.
It is no coincidence that his very name literally means rebel.
He was presumptuous before the Lord, standing in direct defiance of God's commands to fill the earth.
Nimrod established a kingdom based on human pride, and he serves as a vivid historical foreshadowing of the Antichrist who is to come.
Both are characterized by their desire to establish a unified kingdom apart from God's authority.
We know from the scripture that God intervened. He came down, confounded their language, and scattered them across the face of the earth to halt their rebellion.
But the tragedy of the human heart is that they took their false religious concepts with them into their new cultures.
Those corrupted concepts became the seed for global false religions.
Whether we look at the Egyptian sun god Ra, the Greek god Zeus, the Babylonian god Murdoch, or even the modern cults and animistic practices we see today.
They all share the same corrupted ingredients from Babel.
They're all, at their core, sacrifices to demons, repackaged for different cultures in different eras.
Brother Steve pointed out a fascinating trend in our modern era, too. He said Satan is trying to bring it back to the future.
We see the global ecumenical church movement pushing hard for total unity across all denominations and even different faiths.
And Brother Steve noted that this movement is heavily dominated by the gift of tongues.
Which, to an outside observer, often sounds like babble or confusion.
It appears to be an attempt to reunite the world under one mystery religion.
The mystery Babylon of Revelation 17.
Right. It is the full circle of human rebellion. The story of human defiance begins at the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis, and it ends at Mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation.
Seeing that full circle makes so much sense of the news we watch every day.
It really does. So when you see global movements demanding total unity today, it becomes clear that biblical unity is only found in truth.
Not just in sharing the same language or joining a massive ecumenical movement.
True unity cannot be built on a foundation of compromised scripture.
That is the vital distinction we must hold on to. True unity is found in Jesus Christ in his word alone.
When we see the world, or even the global ecumenical church shunning sound doctrine in favor of emotionalism.
Or what 2 Timothy 2.16 calls idle babblings.
Right. We must remain anchored in scripture. We must remember that Satan operates in systems.
Now, we are commanded to love the individuals who are caught in those systems.
Absolutely. God may very well be working in their lives, and we must show them the grace of Christ.
But we must unflinchingly expose the systems themselves to the piercing light of God's word.
We have traversed a great deal of profound spiritual ground today.
We certainly have.
We have examined the Antichrist's future deception, the deep vulnerability of the human heart, and the ancient rebellious roots of Babel that still influence our society.
So what is our call to action today? How do you live this out in your neighborhood and your workplace?
Despite the worsening state of the world's religions, and despite the mystery of lawlessness actively at work, as 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 7 tells us, God is still redeeming his people.
The darkness does not win. The story does not end in defeat.
Our role is to remain faithful witnesses to the truth. You know, I found it incredibly moving how Brother Steve finished his message.
He did not end with a spirit of fear or doom about the coming Antichrist.
No. He ended with a beautiful, heartfelt prayer for a couple in the congregation, John and Gayan.
They were preparing to leave for Jamaica to serve with Lighthouse Medical Missions.
He prayed that they would be a mighty witness in that country.
He asked the Lord that the people they cared for would see the light of Christ shining within them.
And that they would be drawn to that light like a moth to a flame.
What a beautiful, perfect image of our true calling as believers in a darkening world.
That is exactly what you must remember as you go about your week. God is running history.
We are not called to live in fear of Babylon's rising shadows.
We are called to shine the light of Christ brightly into the dark.
Let that truth settle deep in your heart. We are children of the light.
As we close our time together, I want to leave you with this final reflection, returning to where we started our discussion.
About the counterfeits.
Right. We are surrounded by counterfeits. As you watch the culture frantically building its modern towers of Babel, desperately trying to reach fulfillment and unity without God, you must ask yourself a hard question.
Are you wasting your precious energy throwing stones at their towers?
Or are you busy building arcs of truth and love right in your own home and your own community?
True safety from the counterfeit is only found in holding fast to the genuine word of God and living it out with grace and patience.
Thank you for joining us for this biblical exploration today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his perfect peace. Amen.